Hey guys, welcome back. It's getting fast and furious now. Dave LaFever, Rapala Pro Staff guy, just here and got another one.
Yeah.
Visiting with me. The great Bernie Schultz, who's been competing professionally since just a little bit before. It's got to be like 30 years
30
now.
30 years, yeah.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, been on the Bass Tour and FLW off and on 30 years.
Yep. Holy smokes.
Yeah, been at it.
Congratulations.
Still breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to do. I remember you were there when I fished my first tournament in 96.
Yeah. I started the tour about, it was probably 87 or 8.
Good night.
But it was a more regionalized thing back then, you know, Southeast.
Right. And
back when Ray Scott was running the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Harold Sharp back in those days.
Man, see, I was just after Harold Sharp. Tripp had taken the reins by the time
I got started. Yep.
But Ray Scott, thank you, Ray.
Brother Ray.
Yeah, Ray started this whole thing, and it's amazing. And I remember watching on TNN, you know, watching the shows.
Bob Cobb, being
part of the, part of the Bass Club, and that's what we would do while we'd have our meetings. We'd have all the Bassmasters. He'd videotape them. Then they had VHS. A lot of you probably don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But, we watch all those shows over and over again, and I thought it was awesome. I wanted to do this so bad, and it was so cool. It was, for me personally, the first time I came across the stage and Ray Scott weighed me in, I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, my dream was to have him hand me my trophy when I won, but that never worked out. But Ray's a legend, and he's the reason we're all here. He's the reason this building is the way it is. I mean, he grew the sport exponentially, and he was a great showman. He just, and a great guy, and we were part of his flock. I mean, he felt... there's a close relationship to all the anglers.
That's true.
I miss Ray.
Yeah, I sure do. And, he had such a big impact. And I was fortunate. I went to the Classic at that 97 Classic, and he was there. He was the MC. It's a big moment, you know.
P.T. Barnum.
Yeah.
He's bigger than life, and he knew how to project. He knew how to pull people in, and he took a backyard hobby pastime, and turned it into a serious professional sport.
Yeah, he sure did.
He sure did, single-handedly, in my opinion.
Yeah, I know. Now we're all out here doing it, and I can't believe it. It's been 20 years since I fished that first tournament, and my career has morphed. I've gone to FLW, and 10 years ago I started Bass University, and everything, everything's changed. I'm teaching people and doing things differently, and that's what we're doing here now. And it's just been amazing that all started with him. But I remember you being there, and I just couldn't believe it. I'd bump into you guys on the water. I was so intimidated. I mean, you'd see all these guys you've been watching, reading about, and you pull up on a grass line, and you're like, oh man, he's like a quarter mile away. I can't get that close. You know what I mean? I was intimidated.
It's like in reality, it was like racing. As if you're not rubbing, you're not racing.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
So we got kind of close back in those days. You kept your space probably more than you needed to.
I wish you would have. Where was this mentorship back then when I needed it?
Yeah, it's a slow curve. And nowadays, though, it's different. The kids come in now, and they're so well prepared. They know electronics inside out better than any of the guys that, the veteran anglers. And they have the desire. They have all the skill set ready to go right out of the starting gate. And it's impressive.
It really is.
Really good talent.
Yeah, these guys, it's amazing at 20. Because I remember, I started in my late 20s. And, I made my first Classic, right? And I had a pretty good start.
Right.
But I couldn't. It took me a while to figure out how to get really good. These kids are getting good a lot earlier, man.
Oh, yeah. Recruitment starts early.
Yeah.
It's not just Dad or Uncle Bob taking them fishing. They've got high school. They've got college programs. And these guys are ready when they come out of there. They're fired up and ready to go.
But you still – the cool thing about it is the sport still has a place for us.
Yeah. It does.
It
really does. If you – as long as you have a strong work ethic and you're able to roll with the punches, you can survive in this industry. you know, whoever out there that's young and aspiring to get into this, I highly recommend you stay in school and get your degree, or at least study marketing and advertising. And it's all about salesmanship out here. You know, you're not just selling product, you're selling yourself. And it's all about the way you present yourself.
That's certainly a key deal.
Yeah.
And the sports allows guys like us to go out there to compete to win.
It does.
Right? The one thing that the young guys don't have is the experience. And you can't manufacture that. You can cut corners and get technologically sound. You can get fundamentally sound.
Yep.
But you can't replicate all the different things that a veteran has seen over the years.
That's true.
Water conditions, yeah. Weather conditions, fish movements, all the various things that are going to impact that fish movement, different types of water.
Right.
So I think it's really cool, and you'll see guys like Rick Klun win. Two years ago.
Yeah, St. John's River. That was a historic moment, really. I mean, he's no spring chicken. He's up there in years, and I'm sure it wasn't on his radar that he was going to win another tournament.
No way.
And it was just cool to see. A lot of guys that were cut earlier in the week stuck around
to see
him win. Yeah, that was impressive. I mean, he's got a strong loyal following among the pros.
Everybody respects Rick.
Yeah. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Rick Klun and all the guys ahead of me. You know, Tommy Martin, Larry Nixon, Roland Martin, Ricky Green. I mean, those guys, they built the sport. They established it. I learned, you know, back when I got in it, Pete, I learned on the go. You know, these kids now, they come in, they've got the skill set. They've got a lot of information already in there. They've been a sponge since they were a lot younger. And I kind of learned tournament fishing when I got on tour. And I learned a lot about pattern fishing once I was on tour. Mm-hmm. It wasn't so, you know, back then it didn't cost so much.
Right.
You know, so you could kind of dip your feet in the water a little bit and learn things and maybe back out and come back. And
you mean it didn't cost $7,500 an event?
Yeah, I mean it's like exorbitant now. You know, and the bass schedule next year is going to be a real challenge financially.
Oh, for you, you have to drive the furthest.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to drive from Central Florida.
Yep.
All the way to the northwestern corner of the United States.
Washington, yeah. Yeah. But so I'm kind of looking forward to it. I mean, it's a new fishery I haven't been to and full of smallmouth. So I love smallmouth. You know that.
Yeah.
So, I'm used to it now. We go to California every few years, and we go to the Canadian border. We go to the Mexican border. We're coast to coast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just a southeastern good old boy tour like it was 30 years ago, yeah. 40 years ago. It's definitely a nationwide endeavor now.
Yeah, it's exciting to see the new water.
It is.
And the Northwest, I've never been.
Yeah.
You know, I've always wanted to. I see the pictures Brandon Polinek holds up from all the fish he catches when he's at home out there.
Yep.
And I'm like, wow, there's just amazing fishing out in this part of the country. We got to go sample it. You guys are going to get a chance to do that. So that's very exciting.
Yeah, I do pretty well on the West Coast normally. So I'm not afraid. I'm looking forward to that challenge. Not looking forward to the drive so much, but the challenge, yes.
You're going to be driving close to my house pretty soon.
I am.
And you smashed them the last time that you guys came here.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of the fishery there. I guess it's an estuary. You're talking about the Chesapeake Bay.
We're talking about the Chesapeake Bay.
Yeah. It's an interesting fishery. I mean, it's a big bay, intimidating under rough conditions. You know, you can get beat up there in a hurry, and your fishing area can get destroyed by the wind in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
But it has options. There's creeks, there's marinas, there's, pockets and places to hide if it does get bad. But, yeah, we're going there, and then right after that, we go to the St. Lawrence River, which I love the St. Lawrence also.
Yeah.
So
everybody loves that place.
Yeah, it's
full
special.
Fish.
It
yeah.
is. It is. Largemouth and smallmouth. So
yeah.
You can win with either, really. If you get on the right largemouth, you can definitely be a threat.
I heard just in one of these interviews, the guys were catching them as deep as 103 feet.
That won't
St. Lawrence.
That won't be me.
No.
No, I don't. My reels don't hold that much line. I'm sorry. No, it's I try to fish less than 20 feet of water, mm-hmm. and generally the 10-foot range, 10 to 12, is the best consistent producer for me. And that's shallow compared to what the other guys are doing. Most of them are at 25 and deeper.
Right.
So
You'll see the bottom in 15 feet of water.
You can read the newspaper, and it's that clear.
It's clear there.
It's like the Bahamas, and, you know, it's got the zebra mussels, and it's got the gobies, and... You know, the fisheries changed. Back when you and I used to first start, you know, when the bass tours first started going to the St. Lawrence, a 3-pound average was really good.
Right.
You were a threat. You're not even in the running now with a 3-pound average. That won't even get you a check.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a...
Well, they've gotten bigger because I think fishermen have evolved and they're better at catching them a little bit. But mainly the gobies and the forage base has allowed these fish just to get bigger.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're slobs. They're freaks of nature. I mean, some of those fish, they look like they're wearing rain suits or something. They're just, there's so much fat on their bodies.
Yep.
But special place, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to seeing how it all turns out. But we've got some great stuff that's coming out. I'm real excited because the company that we both represent hit a home run.
They did.
Here at ICAST.
They did.
And
VMC.
They won. VMC won Best in Show and
Terminal Tackle.
In Terminal Tackle.
Yep.
We don't have to specify. They won Best in Show overall, according to the Bass University. And this is a little Nico rig style weight that has a skirt in it. Man, it's an amazing concept. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The you know, in flipping and punching, you've heard of punch skirts. Everybody mm-hmm. has. I think, to me, this is kind of an adaptation on that. It's just a little teaser skirt, and it pokes right into the end of a... Yeah, and you stick it in the end of your Senko or whatever it is you're fishing with. It's not really that much of a weight as much as it's just a way to secure the skirt in there. Mm-hmm. You also, if you want the weight, we have the pegs, you know, the weights that go in the other end through VMC. But this is just a teaser for a wacky rig worm. You know, you still rig the bait the same way. You can use an O-ring, or I use straws. I cut mm-hmm. little slivers of straws and put them on there, and you loop your rig and hook in there, whichever your preference is, the Nico rig. But this is a new thing, and obviously it got some people's attention at the show because it won.
Right.
And it's a big category, as you well know. Terminal Tackle is massive and broad, and for this to be singled out and to win that category, that's pretty strong.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's an amazing concept, and congratulations to VMC for winning it. And I am, man, I throw tail-weighted, front-weighted, weight, you know, Nico style baits.
Right.
A lot of us do. It's such a consistent way to catch them. So to be able to give them that, like you call it, a teaser, which is a great way to phrase it, but to, you know, give it a little different look.
Yep.
Man, I can't wait to see what this does.
And it doesn't have to be on a wacky rig exclusively. I mean, you could put this on the back of a Texas rig Senko or anything. You could actually stick it into a crawdad and make it look like feelers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of adaptations for this.
Right.
So it's a neat little thing. I remember back in the day, and you will remember this too, back when Guido Hibden used to sell, Stella actually made them. They had their own, the Guido bugs.
Right.
And she would sew these strands of living rubber through the nose of the crawdad to make it look alive, like tentacles and, you know, feelers and whatnot. And that's kind of, you know, reminiscent of that. So, yeah, it's got a place. You can put this on a lot of different body styles.
Mm-hmm. And it's called a Nico skirt.
Yep.
It's VMC, Best in Show Terminal Tackle.
That's right.
That's amazing product.
Yep.
You know, all this is available or will be available soon at Tackle Warehouse. You guys that are subscribers are on our site right now. Of course, you're watching this. You go over to our Bass University Tackle Shop, and you'll be able to get access to this. I don't know if it's up there yet for sale.
I couldn't answer that question.
So new. I don't know if it's even been on the shelves yet. So, look, we will let you know when it's there. But what a cool little product.
And, yeah.
I see a couple other things you brought for show and tell. What do you got?
Yeah. This is the Ripstop 12, which is a bigger version of last year's Ripstop, which mm-hmm. was a much smaller bait with two hooks. It's a sort of a suspending bait. It actually has a slow rise, but it's got like a swim bait action. But what it does that's really cool is when you pause the bait, it stops on a dime. It doesn't drift or sway or do anything. It has a very slight shimmy as it comes to rest, and it stops abruptly. And then it creates a kind of a nose-up slow rise in the water column. It comes in 12 different finishes. It's in a really nice new expansion to the line. And you can always tell a ripstop by the plated tail. You can see that's the braking feature on the tail. And I can hold that closer to the camera. That's what stops the bait as it comes to rest. And it's got, like I said, a pretty aggressive jerkbait action, but with the inclusion of the swim bait type motion to it.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, so it's a cool bait. And
you know, a lot of people, I know you're going to be using this up at Thousand Islands.
Big time.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And for smallies, but man, we've talked about this a lot. A lot of us, myself included, tend to put these things down once the spawn starts, and we don't see them again till the fall.
That's a mistake.
People keep telling me that.
Yeah. Jerkbaits can work year-round. Yeah. I mean, I catch them in Florida in the summer.
It could be schooling.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be schooling fish, or it could be fish that are suspended over stranding hydrilla, like in deeper water, or over shell beds. You know, a lot of Florida bass will move out of the grass onto shell beds. Schooling fish especially, that's a good bait for them. But a jerkbait can work pre-spawn, during the spawn, post-spawn, in through summer and the fall. I mean, there's really no limit. It's kind of in our head that it shouldn't be the right choice, but there's times and you could separate yourself from the rest of the field by throwing a jerkbait. Just ask Kevin Van Dam.
Yeah, well, we've seen that happen. We've seen them do that in muddy water situations.
That's right.
You know, where I fish, the grass is where the fish inhabit in the post spawn a lot of times, and that's prevented me from throwing this bait. But there's edges, there's way to fish these baits shallower, and I'm making a concerted effort this summer to fish jerkbaits year-round. So the ripstop is definitely going to be one of the ones I'm throwing.
Yep.
What else you got?
New line from Suffix. This is it's under the Rapala Brands umbrella, and it's a mono line. It's a super abrasion resistant, low stretch. It's a very slick line, not a lot of memory, comes off the spool real clean. What I like it for, primarily for my application, is topwater. I really like this line. It's very buoyant, not going to, retard the action of the lure. It's a nice loose attachment to the lure, and it's like great abrasion resistance. I'm using it in salt water also.
Okay.
And I'm doing really well with that in that environment. So it comes in a whole spectrum of size ratings, 8, 10, 12, 14 on up, 17, 20. It's a Suffix Advantage. It's a mouthful. And it's a very limp, but not a lot of stretch, and abrasion resistance. So that's new.
You remember when that's all we had to fish with was mono?
Oh, yeah.
How'd we catch anything?
I still use it religiously. I mean, you got to have mono for topwater. A lot of guys are using braid on topwater. I think it's a mistake. I think you need some stretch.
I agree with you.
Yeah, but there is a whole faction of anglers, top-level pros, that believe braid's the way to go with topwater lures. I don't agree with that concept, but I'm still a big proponent of monofilament line. So
my strike to catch ratio with braid on top water is through the floor.
Right.
I tried it. Right. I'm listening. I'm watching. But the way that I execute a hook set and manage a fish, it's unsuccessful for me. I go back to mono and I land 90% of the fish.
Right. Right.
So I've gone away from the braid. I'm in your camp. So check that out, guys. Suffix new mono.
Yeah.
And real quick, one more, Bernie.
Yeah, one more. This is the Storm 360 GT. They call it the search bait. It's a swim bait that comes pre-rigged.
I love this bait.
Yeah. Well, up until this year, it was just the head didn't have any kind of diving other than the weight. It didn't have anything to get it down. Well, this year they introduced this head that has a little diving bill on it. I don't know if they can see that at home. Can maybe hold it in front of that. But anyway, it allows the bait to reach a better depth, a deeper part of the water column, and it also gives it that swim bait and dive bait, okay. crankbait type action. So you got both of best world, the best of both worlds. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's it.
But it comes pre-rigged. There's two baits and that are additional replacements. The head is in the center, as you see there. And they also have replacement. You can buy replacement heads. You can buy replacement bodies. But it's a pre-rigged, and the bodies fit perfectly to the head. It's a nice, clean, flush fit. They stay on real securely. That's a good keeper on here that keeps the body in place. And the head is not, I mean, there's a weight in there, but it's actually encased in plastic. So you have that beautiful finish. It's like a prismatic look, and it's got 3D gel eyes. It's a really nice looking jig head.
Excellent.
Yeah. So that's new also, and an expansion on the 360 GT line.
Well, I love the 360 GT. One of my secrets is I go every May, I go down to the beach in Jersey. And the big bluefish. You ever catch a bluefish?
Oh, yeah, I have many, many. You know I love saltwater.
Yeah, I know you do. Yep. And I love it, too. But I go to the inlets, and the big blues are coming up the inlets.
Right.
And they cannot stay off the 360. And but you got to have a steel leader, or you will lose every single one that you have.
Yep.
But a 5 or 10 pound bluefish will take you across the inlet.
Yep.
And run you up and down the stream there. And it's a ball. It's a fantastic. Not only for bass fishing, but great multi-species bait.
Oh, yeah. We use them down here in Florida on the coast. Redfish, snook, tarpon, and trout, they all eat them.
Yeah.
And there's a spectrum of sizes. You know, there's small ones, and they get even the big size. So I think there's 4 or 5 sizes to choose from, and they come pre-rigged. So it's all you do is tie it on and go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Bernie, thank you, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you guys.
Being here. Wish you the best of luck, man.
Yeah, I'll turn it around. It's been a rough year, but I like what's ahead of me, and I'm not done yet, so don't give up on me.
Top 5 last year on the Chesapeake.
I did, and I usually do well on the St. Lawrence, so maybe they can put me in their fantasy team.
Yeah, there you go. Get Bernie Schultz on your fantasy team, and get this in your tackle box. This is VMC's Nico Skirt. Best in show terminal tackle here at iCast. We're going to be back in just a little while with a lot of great stuff.
5 minutes, Cliff Crochet.
5 minutes, Cliff Crochet.
Cajun baby.
Cajun baby. Mama said.
Mama said.
Mama said.
That's it.
Bash you live. Pete Luzak.